Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, how's your summer going?
It's going well.
Good, good, good. It's been a good summer. And
the high is expected to be about 59 degrees today up here in northern Michigan, so cool weather.
We're going to talk today about colorectal cancer. It actually is a pretty interesting study that you've got. Just by way of background, colorectal cancer is common. It's lethal. Second leading cause of cancer deaths in the U.S. If you look at all cancer deaths in the U.S., about 10% of them are due to colorectal cancer. We know that if you remove pre-malignant adenomas, you can disrupt the cancer cycle, and that we also know if you remove localized cancer, it can prevent cancer-related deaths. So in terms of screening, most colorectal cancers arise from these adenomatous polyps. They are thought to progress from small to large polyps and then to dysplasia and finally to frank cancer. If we can disrupt that sequence, we may be able to make a big difference. And it looks like we can do that with some of the common screening tests. There are lots of ways to screen. There are ways that have certain strengths and others that have weaknesses. The sensitivity, the evidence of the effectiveness, the convenience, the safety, the cost, all of this seems to vary between tests. Unfortunately, it seems that no one test is perfect in all of these dimensions. So, while stool-based tests can improve disease prognosis by detecting early-stage treatable cancers, we're left with the question of which of these myriad screening tests for colon cancer should we use. There are newer tests that include fecal immunochemical tests and a panel test for stool DNA. Mark's picked an article this week that he's going to walk us through from the New England Journal of Medicine, published this year, which is 2014, volume 370. It starts on page 1287 and asks the question, how accurate are the new fecal DNA and fecal immunochemical tests in terms of screening for colorectal cancer? Very important question, Mark. What do they find?
Yeah, this was a really important study, I think, and colorectal cancer screening is one of the more effective types of screening we do, yet many patients, almost half in the U.S., are not current on colorectal cancer screening. Many will never undergo colonoscopy, either because of the discomfort, the ick factor, whatever. So having alternatives to colonoscopy is really important, and it may be that some of these alternatives are actually just as good or nearly as good and much less expensive. So I think there's some important research going on. This study, big study in Spain going on, randomizing people to fecal immunochemical testing or colonoscopy, and this kind of fits into that body of literature. So fecal DNA, just to explain how that works, they basically hang a little bucket in the toilet, and they collect the entire stool specimen, and then you have to mail it in.
Mm.
Talk about the ick factor. And fecal immunochemical testing, it just uses a small dab of stool and only requires a single card, a single test. You don't have to do three different tests with three different stools like we're used to thinking about the old hemocults with. So that's a real plus for it. So anyway, in this study, they took adults age 50 to 85 who were undergoing screening colonoscopy already, and they said, hey, let's do these two tests ahead of time, and let's compare the results to colonoscopy as the gold standard. They had 11,000 initially. Now, interestingly, 700 were excluded because they didn't get enough stool for the fecal DNA or because the sample leaked during shipping. One more reason not to work at the post office, I guess. 300 were excluded because they didn't have an adequate colonoscopy and inadequate prep. Only 34 had an insufficient sample for FIT, fecal immunochemical testing. We'll just call it FIT. Of the final group, there were about 10,000 participants. 65 were diagnosed with cancer. Now, this study was sponsored by the folks that make fecal DNA tests, and they touted it as a huge win for fecal DNA testing. And it certainly, you know, was good in some ways, but not as good in others. The fecal DNA was very sensitive. It picked up 92% of those cancers, but it was only 87% specific. So that meant a lot of people who didn't have cancer were labeled as positive tests and then required a colonoscopy. The FIT was less sensitive. 74% of cancers were detected compared to 92%, but it was much more specific, so there were a lot fewer false positives. It's important to think about this a little bit. It's not just, you know, the fecal DNA detected 60 out of 65 cancers compared to 48 for the FIT. But remember, FIT is something that can be done every year or two. So even if it misses it one year, it might very well pick it up the next year. And that's why it's important not just look at a one-time screening, but to look at a program of screening. The lower specificity of the fecal DNA meant that there were about 1,200 follow-up colonoscopies needed compared to 470 for FIT. So a lot more people had to go through colonoscopy, which is expensive and so on. Using the fecal DNA, they had to do 22 colonoscopies to detect one cancer compared to 11 for the FIT. And finally, the fecal DNA costs about $400 to $800 per test. So it's really not even that much more, that much less expensive than colonoscopy. And the FIT, on the other hand, costs about $5 to $40. So much less expensive. So I think the author's take on it was fecal DNA, it's here, it's ready, it's the best test ever. I'm a lot more sanguine about it. I think you have to look at the big picture in terms of the cost of the test, the number of colonoscopies required, and the number of false positives, the fact that FIT provides a nearly as good alternative that's much less expensive and also probably more palatable to patients than having a bucket in their toilet full of stool that they then have to back up and ship into the lab. So I think it's important that we know this information. I think fecal DNA might be an alternative in certain situations, but it is certainly not the clear favorite over FIT as far as I'm concerned.
We have two letters from listeners here. One is from John DeGrasse, who is the president of the U.S. Postal Service Local Union, who writes, "Dear doctors, why don't you think of our well-being? You think our job is fun?" And then we have a letter from Congressman Wilson who says, "Hey, doctors, what do you think of the idea? We're talking in Congress about stopping Saturday mail delivery. Perhaps Saturday should be stool day and confine mail delivery to just the delivery of stool specimens. Would this work?"
Great ideas, and it's so great to hear from our interested listeners. Thanks, Mike.
Absolutely. Bottom line here, should we be shifting to either FIT or the DNA testing or sticking with, at least for mass screening, with the old GWIAC?
First of all, and let me state that I'm a member of the USPSTF, and these comments that I'm making are my personal comments and opinions. There is a subgroup within the task force that is looking at colorectal cancer screening. I'm not part of that subgroup, so that is currently underway, and we're going to be updating that recommendation. Having said that, right now, you know, July 2014, my personal opinion is that we should encourage our patients to have colonoscopy, that if patients refuse to have colonoscopy, can't afford colonoscopy, it's not accessible or available to them for whatever reason, then I think fecal immunochemical testing is a really good alternative, or appears to be a really good alternative, primarily based on the low false positive rate, the fact that it's simple to do, inexpensive, and you can do it every 1 to 2 years. And given the long lead time of adenoma to colorectal cancer, I think it's likely over the long term going to be just as accurate as the fecal DNA at a much lower cost. Now, again, that's opinion. We don't have those long-term data yet, although we will in 2 or 3 years from the Spanish.
If you use the FIT study because of any of the reasons that you suggested, at some point you could potentially end up at the door of needing a colonoscopy, right? I mean, if it comes back positive, you're going to need to make friends with a gastroenterologist at some point.
Yeah, and, you know, but I think that patients might, I think in general, you know, we've dealt with this for a long time with hemocults, you know, patients with, "I don't want colonoscopy, okay, I'll do that stool test." But once there's an abnormality, I think that incentive to put up with the colonoscopy is greater. Now we're dealing with an abnormality that needs follow-up rather than, "I feel perfectly fine, why does he want to stick that colonoscope of me. So I think that, I guess I'm not as concerned about that as an issue. So I think I'd stick with what I said. I think the fecal immunochemical testing looks like a more convenient, more accurate alternative to the older hemocult tests. And I think it's, for me at least, currently preferable to the fecal DNA testing for the reasons we talked about. And like you said, yes, some patients are going to need a colonoscopy, but less than half as many as if you did fecal DNA testing. So I think that's an important point.
Thanks for the clarification, Mark. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, sounds good.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.